Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Laid Out to Rest by Anne I. Goldfarb and J.C. Eaton. Narrated by Robin Siegerman. Chapter 1. Chandler, Arizona.
That's it? A done deal?
Another few syllables, and my mother's voice would have breached the sound barrier. I was sure it was accompanied by a frantic fluffing of her recently bronzed highlighted tips. It was a little past 8 in the evening, and I was fast at work packing kitchen utensils. Thankfully, a neighbor had recently moved into the complex where I rented an upscale condo for the past 5 years and offered me her cardboard moving boxes. If you're referring to the fact that I submitted my letter of resignation to the CEO of Chantech Industries, then yes, it's a done deal. Unless, of course, you called to talk about something else. Usually, people provide some background before they start a conversation.
You know very well what I'm talking about, Katie. You've got a business degree, and you worked your tail off to get to where you are in that company, and now what? You want to give it all up? To make cucarachas in some godforsaken place?
Charcuterie boards, not cucarachas. Heaven help me. I can only imagine what she's telling everyone. And since when is Cave Creek a godforsaken place? I've done my research, and I know what I want. I also know what I don't want. I'm only 32, and already I'm burned out with the high-tech business world. The pressure to make a sale, the unrelenting push to get a deal through, it never ends. I want to use my energy in a more creative way. I need a venue that blends art and taste.
Since when is putting deli meat and cheese on a plate an artistic expression?
Since the French introduced it in the 15th century. And it's an art form, an edible art form. For your information, the entire idea of salting and preserving meats came from ancient Rome.
This isn't ancient Rome. We have refrigerators now and freezers. We don't have to salt and save anything. Honestly, this is the worst idea you've ever come up with. How on earth do you plan to make a living?
By catering high-end parties and events in the social hub of the valley. Scottsdale, Paradise Valley, and Fountain Hills. And I'll have a home base with a small grab-and-go shop in Cave Creek. I already signed the lease and secured a business loan. Besides, I got the deal of the century on a cute rental house not far from the shop. The owner passed away, and the nephew who inherited it lives in Tacoma. Maddie found it for me. Lucky I have a friend in real estate, huh?
Please tell me the place comes with electricity and hot and cold running water.
Ugh, stop being so melodramatic. And before you ask how I intend to pay for all of this, I've managed my money wisely, enough to take over the little sandwich shop and get my business started. The two full-time employees were thrilled that I agreed to keep them on.
It's the breakup with Evan, isn't it? I've heard of things like that.
Like what?
An early midlife crisis brought about by a stress-related incident.
Stop reading all that psychobabble. Besides, Dad isn't all too bent out of shape. All he said when I saw you guys last week was that he wanted me to be happy.
What did you expect him to say? Of course he wants you to be happy. I just hope your brother doesn't decide to leave dentistry.
I doubt it. Too many college loans to pay off. Besides, I think he rather enjoys being the second prosthodontist in the family.
You could have been the third, you know. The fourth, if you count your late grandfather.
Ew. I like putting food in people's mouths, not staring into them. Ever since I worked summers for that golf resort and shadowed their chefs, I've been enamored by the idea of working that field. Unfortunately, I was persuaded by big tech and the prestige that went with it. So much for illusion. Listen, I've got lots of packing to do, not to mention the odds and ends I've got to catch up on. I'll give you a call at the end of the week.
Call me sooner if you change your mind about this. But not tomorrow. I've got 3 client meetings for house staging. Then again, you can always leave a message, and big tech illusion translates into money. Like I said, you may have second thoughts.
Doubtful. And remember, it's charcuterie, not cucarachas. In a sense, I couldn't blame my mother for worrying about my livelihood, Both she and my father weren't exactly what someone would call risk-takers. Before my mother became a home stager, she worked as a teaching assistant while my brother and I were growing up. Steady job, steady hours. Same with my dad, who took over his dad's dental practice around the same time. Nevertheless, her call unsettled me more than I care to admit. That conversation was on a Sunday, 5 days ago, and since then I had to juggle my current job and begin to transition, the little sandwich shop I bought into a grab-and-go place that would morph into a charcuterie business. I figured it would be a slow transition as I gradually introduced pre-prepared mini cheese, fruit, and meat plates. I'd managed to get the advertising set up and touched base with the current vendors. The downside was that I was sleep-deprived, completely and totally sleep-deprived. I figured once I got settled in my new place, I'd make up for all those lost Z's. Lamentably, I was wrong. Dead wrong. But at the time it sounded good. Now, facing my last week at Chantec, I felt hopeful. Two guys in a truck were scheduled to move my belongings to Cave Creek tomorrow, and I'd commute to Chandler for the last week while juggling my time with a sandwich shop. The catering end of my venture would have to wait a bit. Superwoman, I wasn't. Lillianne Wentworth, a late 50-something retired elementary school teaching assistant, and Matt Linden, a part-time student at Paradise Valley Community College, ran the 7 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. shop during the week and on Saturdays. Of course, the prior owner also worked there, and I'd have to step into his shoes, experience or not. At least, with the doors closed on Sundays, I could concentrate on charcuterie boards when the catering end took off. Like my current rental, the little house in Cave Creek came completely furnished. The only thing I replaced was the instrument of torture in the master bedroom. I purchased a new queen-size mattress that didn't boast a sagging middle and lumpy exterior. As far as everything else went, I could live with the prior occupant's design choices, eclectic at best. The elderly lady who last slept here filled the place with Moroccan ottomans and Russian samovars. As for the overall decor, it was a jarring combination of early American farmhouse and southwestern style. Still, it was functional, even if not a personal preference, and that's all I needed. Its current owner, the nephew in Tacoma, offered to have it painted, but not for a few months. At least he did have it professionally cleaned, so it wasn't as if I would be stepping into a flip or flop nightmare, complete with termites, plumbing issues, and years of decay. The only uptick to my new venture was the encouragement I got from my longtime friend Maddie. She and I attended the same elementary school before her family moved from Chandler to Paradise Valley, where she now works as a real estate agent. If it wasn't for her perseverance, I would have wound up renting something way too pricey. "This is the only house within your budget," she said a month ago when we looked at properties. "It's in a somewhat historic part of town, and it does check off a number of boxes." "Historic is a euphemism for old," I remember telling her. "Think about it, will you? It's almost walking distance to the sandwich shop, and it's a quick drive to Scottsdale, Paradise Valley, and Fountain Hills. So what if the prior owner liked ochre and puce? It'll be painted in a few months. Just dim the lights." That, or walk around blindfolded. Maddie arranged her schedule so she could help me unpack and settle in once the movers unloaded my cartons of books, clothing, and miscellaneous household goods in the morning. The worst part of the entire ordeal was having to do without technology. At least I had the iPhone, and if I could have had it permanently attached to my hand, I would have. The thought of going 2 full days before the cable company hooked up my computer and TV was unbearable, and I swore I developed a twitch under my left eye. Surrounded by boxes, I no longer had my digital alarm clock by the bed or my computer a few feet away. And other than an M.C. Beaton novel left on the nightstand, there was nothing to entertain me. Except, of course, for that nagging thought about calling my mother before vacating my apartment in less than 24 hours. We had texted during the week, and I had to reassure her with each message that everything was going smoothly and that I didn't need her to help with the packing. I promised to call, and it couldn't wait. Fumbling with my neck rest and pillow, I tapped the number from my list of contacts. "Hope it's not too late, Mom," I said. "This is the first chance I got to catch my breath."
"You should have told me sooner. I would have come over to help you."
"I know, and thanks, but I had it under control. Maddie's going to help me unpack, and the movers will be at the new place by 8. Tuft and Needle already delivered my mattress."
"Then there's no going back?"
No.
"That's what I told your father. Listen, should you change your mind, you can always move in with us until you find another position in your own field."
"Unless I find a Harry Carey knife first. I'm not about to change my mind, and everything will be fine. Cave Creek is less than an hour from here. It's not as if I signed up to join Lewis and Clark. Once I get unpacked and get the sandwich shop going, I want you and Dad to come over for dinner, okay?"
"Will it be one of those cucacharari plates?"
I laughed. "Only if you insist. And by the way, I'm changing the name of the shop from Cave Creek Sandwiches to the Charboard. Kind of like a takeoff on the chalkboard where sandwich shop menus are written."
"It sounds like cardboard. People will think you're selling boxes. What about a cut above?"
"That sounds like a hairdresser. The Charboard it is. Once customers see the place, they'll get the reference. Besides, I've designed a neat logo, and I had a graphic designer incorporated into our ads and our business cards. I even had magnetic signs made from IKEA Sorrento. Nothing like advertising on the move."
"It sounds like you know what you're doing, Katie, even if I'm struggling to accept it."
"Thanks. That was the most encouraging thing you've said this entire month."
"Send me some of those business cards and I'll pass them around to my clients. How's that for encouraging?"
"It's great. I'll text you with updates and we can chat once things settle. Give Dad a hug from me."
"I'll do better. I'll insist he put those business cards in the lobby of his office, right next to the ones about teeth whitening."
With little to do except stare at the ceiling, I picked up The Cozy Mystery and read until I could no longer keep my eyelids from closing. If Agatha Raisin could start all over, Katie Lynn Aubrey certainly could, even if she wasn't a fictional character. Chapter 2. Ever since I was little, if I had to get up early for anything out of the ordinary, I never slept well, and last night was no exception. From lying flat on my back to rolling from left to right, my bout in bed was more of an exercise routine than the ones I got at Chantix's gym. When the alarm went off at 6, I wondered if I could begin a new trend, burn calories in your sleep. I took my last shower in the condo, toweling off with 2 hand towels, because I had packed the larger bath ones along with my electric toothbrush, compelling me to use one of the freebie toothbrushes from my father's office. Fine. Packing for a move isn't one of my strengths. A quick damp dry of my wavy red chin-length hair coupled with an application of tinted sunblock, and I was all set. I stuffed yesterday's clothes into a plastic grocery bag and threw on the t-shirt and worn capris that I set out the night before. Then I hightailed it to the elevator and returned from the coffee shop in the lobby with a blueberry muffin and large coffee. It would have to suffice for the time being. Next, I scurried around the place, gathered the last-minute odds and ends that were still in sight, and crammed them into the oversized backpack that I last used during my freshman year in college. No sooner did I zip it up when the movers arrived. 2 muscular men with broad shoulders, beards, and a variety of tattoos on their arms. They immediately got to work loading my cartons, electronics, and small kitchen appliances onto dollies. I stood open-mouthed, coffee cup in hand, praying they wouldn't drop anything. The entire process took less than an hour and a half, at least at this end.
"We'll see you over in Cave Creek,"
one of the men said.
"Are you following us, or will someone be at your new place to let us in?"
"My girlfriend Maddie will let you in. I've got to give this place a quick once-over before I lock up and leave the key."
"Sounds like a plan. Catch you in a bit."
One of the perks of having a real estate agent for a friend is the connection she had with cleaning services. At her insistence, I hired Wanda's Wonders to make sure the condo would be spotless enough so I could get my entire security deposit back. True, I didn't have any pets, but I wasn't exactly what someone would call fastidious when it came to house cleaning. I made up my mind to do better at the next place. It took me longer to drive from Chandler to Cave Creek than it did for me to make sure I didn't leave anything behind. From drawers to cabinets and closets, I scrutinized everything. Satisfied, I left the key on the kitchen table and locked the bottom non-deadbolt lock in the door. All the cleaning service would have to do is contact the manager. Goodbye, Chandler, and hello, Charboard. Yep, I had no doubt I'd made the right decision about Cave Creek. It was a cross between an artist's haven and an Arizona frontier town. Complete with quirky shops like the Rusty Javelina featuring metal art and Miners to Finders with an array of rocks, minerals, and gems, it also showcased New Age getaways that promoted healing oils, body massages, and meditation. Most of all, Cave Creek was known for its unique coffee shops and an abundance of watering holes like the Thirsty Lizard. Some of the shops, like mine, were connected to others in a rustic strip mall sort of way, while others were standalone with large parking lots and a plethora of cacti, mesquite trees, and agaves. With the Continental Mountains on one side of the main drag and the Black Mountains on the other, it was a veritable picture postcard. It was also well within driving distance to the greater Phoenix area.
"I thought you'd never get here!"
Maddie shouted from the porch of the rental house. She gave her shoulder-length blonde hair a flip and smiled. Perfect teeth, thanks to years of braces and retainers. And a perfect figure, too, a result of early morning workouts, a penchant for fruits and vegetables, and great jeans.
"The movers are almost done. Hope you remembered some money to give them a tip. All I have is my debit card."
"Not a problem. Does everything look all right in there?"
"Sure. Try not to fixate on the wall colors. It'll take some getting used to."
"Don't worry. I'll be too busy fixating on getting my business started." For the next hour or so, Maddie helped me unpack the essentials, kitchen and bathroom stuff.
"You can always work out of boxes for clothing," she said. "And you've got all day tomorrow."
"Not all day. I'm meeting my employees at noon to go over a few things, so I want to get as much done now as possible. And that includes making a stop later at the nearest supermarket for provisions. The only things I had left in my apartment were 3 pods of dark roast coffee, a few cans of soup, a box of crackers, dishwashing liquid, and minute rice."
"Yeesh! Don't have me over for dinner anytime soon. How about I run to the nearest fast food place and bring us back some sustenance? I don't know about you, but I'm ready to chew my arm off."
Just then, one of the movers came out of the house and shouted,
"You should have told us you had a dog. That thing scared the daylights out of us. When we opened your bedroom door, he or she was on the bed and didn't look too happy when we had intruded on its privacy."
I froze and widened my eyes. "I don't have a dog. Are you sure it's a dog and not a coyote? Those things are all over the area. Maybe one of them got into the house."
"Unless there's a new breed that has a striking resemblance to a beagle, I'd say no."
"Must be some neighbor's dog got into your house while the men were unloading the truck and—"
Maddie said. Before she finished her sentence, I brushed past her and ran straight for the master bedroom. Sure enough, a slightly chunky beagle was curled up on the bed. It lifted its head and then licked a front paw.
"You need to go back to your own house," I announced.
"Come on, off my new mattress. Good thing the plastic is still on it."
The dog looked at me and edged forward.
"Come on, get down from there."
I made a motion with my hand and watched as the beagle left the cozy spot on the bed.
"Okay, one mystery solved," I said. "You're a male, and from the look of things, a neutered one. Your owner is probably looking for you."
Maddie, who was a few feet behind me, approached the dog and proceeded to pat his head.
"Sweet guy. You can't simply toss him out of here. Anything could happen. It's summer, and for all we know, he could die of dehydration."
I shrugged. "He hasn't died yet.
What are you suggesting?
Well, he doesn't have a collar, so that's no help. There's a veterinary office on the main street. We should check for a microchip. I've got one of Sir Walter's leashes in my car. I'll loop it around this guy, and it'll be fine. Besides, this is a small town. Chances are that office may know who the owner is.
Guess we don't have much choice, huh? Maybe I can find a bowl in the kitchen and get him some water. There are a few pots and pans left in the cabinets as part of the rental. I narrowly missed bumping into one of the movers as I walked out of the bedroom.
Not your dog, huh? Must have wandered in to get out of the heat. At least it's early June, so it's not that bad.
The man was already down the hall and headed for the other bedrooms before words could form in my mouth. The last thing I needed was to deal with a dog. I had enough on my plate with the new business, not to mention the unpacking and shopping for groceries. Thankfully, the movers were as efficient with this end of the process as they were with the first. I thanked them and gave them decent tips, having already paid the fee prior with a credit card. As their truck pulled out of the gravel driveway, I returned to the house where Maddie was seated at the kitchen table, the dog at her side. She turned toward me and widened her eyes.
What are you going to do if there's no microchip?
What do you mean, what am I going to do? Can't you take him home with you? Sir Walter might like a friend.
Sir Walter is a spoiled mini schnauzer who barely tolerates me. You should keep the beagle. This place isn't as secure as your condo complex in Chandler. A dog provides protection.
Protection? Look at him. He's curled up on the braided rug by the sink.
You can't turn him over to the county shelter. He'll be put to sleep.
We're jumping ahead of ourselves. Chances are he's a neighbor's dog, and we'll return him to his owner once we go to the vet. Maddie stood.
On our way, with one stop, fast food hamburgers for the three of us.
Since Maddie's car was a larger SUV, she drove us to the nearest McDonald's where we downed Big Macs and fries, and the dog inhaled two plain burgers. Then it was off to the veterinary practice on the main drag.
Don't look so despondent,
Maddie said when the three of us pulled into my driveway.
Just because the dog doesn't have a microchip and no one in that veterinary practice recognized him doesn't mean he isn't someone's pet. And so what if your next-door neighbors didn't know where he belonged? Hey, at least you introduced yourself to the neighborhood. We'll post info on Facebook and social media, and I'll take a photo with my phone and make up some posters for you to put around.
I opened the hatchback of the SUV and lugged the bag of Royal Canin dog food that I purchased at the vet's office into the house. The beagle trotted behind Maddie and me as if he had just won the Mega Million jackpot.
I can't believe this is happening, I said. A beagle, of all things! The last pet I owned was a turtle, and that didn't go well at all. You were in the fourth grade, and turtles don't live that long. It's about time you had a companion.
I had Evan, and we both know how that worked out.
This isn't the same. Beagles are known for their loyalty.
It's a dog, for crying out loud, not a significant other.
No, it's better. You get to call the shots.
Yeah, well, tell that to Sir Walter. We both laughed as I unlocked the door to my new place. Again, cartons everywhere. I suppose I should start in the kitchen and find a plate or something for his food, I said. How long can you stick around? Maddie looked at her phone.
About an hour, or Sir Walter may punish me for being late.
Terrific. And you're convincing me to keep this dog?
Foster, babysit, call it what you want.
I need to call him something. Judging from his mannerisms, he's not exactly a fast mover.
That's because you've only seen him indoors. It may be different if he spies a rabbit or something.
I looked at the beagle, now snoring on the braided rug. Speed bump. I think that says it all. At least temporarily. Maybe his real name is Buddy or Charlie or... Maddie grinned like the Cheshire Cat.
Speed bump it is. Hey, at least you won't be sleeping alone in here tonight.
At the time, I thought she meant the dog. But I was mistaken. Seriously mistaken. Chapter 3
It's serendipitous, Maddie said as she headed out the front door. The backyard is fenced and there's a doggy door in the utility room. Must be the prior owner had a dog at one time. When I spoke to her nephew, he told me his aunt passed away peacefully in her sleep. No mention of pets whatsoever.
Serendipitous, my you-know-what. Speed bump is simply visiting.
I'll get the social media going and work on those posters for you. Promise. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Maddie. I gave her a hug and watched as she drove off. Serendipitous, huh? Preposterous would be a better word.
Speed bump's snores oscillated from soft buzzing to rigorous snorts. I immediately sifted through my cartons to find my Bose radio and plugged it in. Any kind of background music would have been better.
Sorry, you have to use an old spaghetti pot for your water dish, I said. If no one claims you by tomorrow, I'll have to spring for a water dish, food bowl, and a leash.
Don't worry, I have faith in social media. If your owner is out there, they'll be anxious to get you home.
The dog continued to snore, and I went about my business unpacking and drinking water like a camel. Fortunately, the refrigerator was a fairly new one, with a decent water filter and ice maker. Absolute necessities in the Arizona heat. The microwave was fairly new, too, but not built in. At least I had enough counter space to plug in my Keurig and my toaster oven. I was pretty wiped out by 6, not to mention ravenous.
It's a toss-up, I said to the dog. Chicken noodle soup or vegetarian vegetable?
He looked up from his spot on the rug and ambled into the kitchen.
Chicken noodle it is.
I can always pour some of it on your kibble. Not that it matters. You devoured a full bowl of it when we got back from the vet.
Speed bump watched my every move as if he understood and needed to ensure I'd keep my word about the kibble.
When we were both done eating, I motioned for him to follow me.
Come on, might as well check out the doggy door and backyard while it's still light out.
Either the dog was used to the process, or he was a quick learner. Watching him, it seemed as if he'd done it 1,000 times.
I'm not going to get attached to you, I said, giving him a pat on the head. You're someone else's dog, and that's that.
By 8:15, I was ready to throw myself on the bed and sleep like nobody's business. Only one problem. I never made up the bed. Lifting a queen-size mattress wasn't the easiest feat in the world, especially while trying to pull the plastic covering off, but after a few tries complete with expletives, I was able to get down to business and add the mattress cover and sheets. Thankfully, the pillows were in reach since I shoved them into an empty laundry basket earlier that day. As I bent down to get them, Speed Bump was already on top of the bed, making himself comfortable.
No, I shouted. You're not about to sleep on my bed. For all I know, you might have fleas. Or worse.
True, the dog didn't appear to be itching and his fur looked fine, but it was the ick factor that gave me the willies.
I absolutely cannot believe I'm about to do this, I muttered.
But you're going into the shower before you set one paw on my bed.
I swore the dog rolled his eyes, but he acquiesced and let me bathe him with the remaining Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo that I packed.
It's a good thing I saved all my ratty towels for the move. No sense using a good one. These are perfectly clean, even if they do have a few holes and are frayed at the ends. If nothing else, Speed Bump was as mellow as could be. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad having a dog around. Then again, I reminded myself, he had to be someone's lost dog. Too exhausted to do anything else, I let him out in the yard for a few minutes before pulling down the lightweight cover from the bed and getting in. My back melted into the mattress, and I drifted asleep. The last sound I heard was Speed Bump snoring, his body pressed against my leg. Unlike earlier in the evening, the sound was soft and rhythmic. With a new moon and the shades drawn, the only light came from the digital clock on the nightstand. Fuzzy bluish light.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?